This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities, taking a look at the wheat markets for Thursday, January 28th. Well, we've had quite a week so far in the wheat space. Last week we ended on quite a negative tone, especially with Friday's washout to the downside. But we have spent the rest of the week clawing our way back and regaining those losses, plus some, actually, at least from Friday's losses. Monday and Tuesday we recoup most of those losses, not only in wheat, but also in corn and beans. Corn quickly got back up to the highs, those contract highs, which are 7-year highs for corn. In wheat, we're in the same boat. We're hovering around 7-year highs that were put in last week, but we're not quite back up to those highs yet. So yesterday, on Wednesday, the market put in a swing high and then kind of reversed down. We really seemed to run out of momentum, and that was the story for corn and soybeans as well, as both of those markets started out strong on the night session. Beans were up around 24, and then the market just kind of ran out of gas and started to pull back and really just could never recover. We closed about just slightly higher in beans. Corn was about unchanged, and wheat was down about 5 or 6 cents across the space. So it's getting a little disappointing trade here in the wheat complex, and that seems to have certainly taken more of a back seat to what's going on in the row crops. Now, weather, of course, has been a big driver of what's happening in the rows. South American weather, we started out in dry conditions in northern Brazil, then they got a bunch of rain, then it turned dry in southern Brazil. Now they've had torrential rains, got massive flooding going on there, right as soybeans are setting pods. So it's just one problem after the other. Argentina's generally been dry. They've had some rain that have kind of staved off the massive drought situation, but boy, they are really struggling in both Brazil and Argentina. They've had record planting, so they could still pull this out if Mother Nature would just give them a break. And some of the reports coming out of there do suggest that we'll see record production. But boy, it's going to be tough to do that, to be honest. I think that, first of all, the plantings were so delayed that if nothing else, your second season corn crop is going to be very late if they get it in at all. We're already pushing back harvest in Brazil a good 3 weeks. So that's why China continues to come to the U.S. market for soybeans. Normally, they're already getting ready to load off the coast of Brazil by this time. They are typically in full swing harvest in northern Brazil for soybeans. That just is not the case this year. China has been a huge buyer, of course, all along in corn and beans in particular. They have been the main driver of this demand-led bull market. They're increasing their hog herds in a much different style than they have been before. They're going to commercial production. Their feed grain demand is absolutely enormous. And we see that with not only their corn and soybean purchases, but also what's going on with their wheat auctions, or their internal government auctions that go on every week. They never get any attention. The government offers 3, 4, 5 million tons of wheat every week for years. And generally speaking, like, none of it sells because it's very poor quality. This is a wheat that's been in storage, for government storage, for 5 years or more. The quality is just continually eroded away. They're just trying to dump it on the market. Nobody will take it. Well, that has changed. The last 2 weeks, they've offered about 5 million tons, and they've sold all of it. So obviously, feed grain demand is huge, prices are soaring, and they're willing to bring very low quality wheat into the feed mix. So that tells us two things: that the sky high feed grain prices around the world are real, not that we didn't know that, but they're going to stick around for a while, because China obviously is a huge player in the grain space at all. And if they're buying extremely low quality wheat to pull into their feed supplies, that's telling us that corn supplies are very tight, which obviously they're coming to the U.S. for big numbers. They bought 1.6 million or 1.4 million tons earlier this week. There was a rumor that they bought another 600,000 tons. Unknown sales have been high. So we presume those are going to, most of those would be going to China as well. It also tells us that they're going to be replenishing those wheat supplies. if they intend to do that in the near term, there really are very few places to go other than the United States and Australia. Australia could fill that, fill those needs. They sell soft wheat. It's a winter wheat. That would be good enough for government stocks in China. But wherever they go, it's that much volume that they're pulling out of the world pipeline. At this point, pretty much the only players left are Australia, the United States, and Canada. The Black Sea, of course, as we know, Russian export taxes start February 15th at 25 euros per ton, and then on March 1 they bump up to 50 euros per ton. The government is suggesting that they will keep some kind of a tax on new crop as well. So we'll see where that pulls us. But Ukraine has agreed to their quota, which is basically where they were at anyway. So they're pretty much out of the market. They've already sold what their quotas would be, very close to it anyway. Europeans, of course, had a short crop. Their FOB prices have been notably higher than the rest of the world throughout the whole season so far, and that's not going to change. Argentina ended up with a shorter crop than they thought. Most of their wheat stocks will go to Brazil. And we know that that's not going to be enough because Brazil has been in the open market and they've been buying some U.S. wheat as well. So that comes back to the United States, where we see our FOB offers, which haven't backed off. In fact, we've rallied up and they are still some of the cheapest in the world. Canada, of course, is just going to be a spring wheat exporter. And then, of course, there's Australia, which had the third biggest crop ever. Good for them. And they are selling as fast as they can, but there's been some rumblings down there as well that they would be making efforts to slow down the exports. People are in protective mode, countries are protecting domestic supplies, and we see world prices continuing to push higher for all the grains. Oil seeds, veg oil demand is enormous, soybean crush, bean oil is demand is high. Again, the soybeans themselves for a feed supplement, corn, all of it is sky-high prices, multi-year high prices. And I don't see that backing off. If this were just a weather scare, that would be one thing. But it's a demand-driven market initially, and now you're throwing some weather events on it. And as we get into, you know, next month, basically, we're going to be getting the insurance rates, first of all, pinned down, and they're going to be high. So producers are going to have very good protection, unless things completely fall apart in February, which I don't see happening, that you're going to have some very high insurance guarantees. And boy, I can't imagine a farmer not wanting to tear up every acre they've got and put it into corn, probably. Soybeans would come next. Wheat is going to be a distant third, and I think across the northern plains you're going to see a huge shift from spring wheat over to corn and soybeans, in particular in western Minnesota through at least through the central North Dakota and South Dakota. And I would imagine that will continue to move west, especially in North Dakota, perhaps even into eastern Montana. You know, people who have been dipping their toe in the water, growing some soybeans, figuring out how to do it, you know, they're going to look at these sky-high insurance rates and like, why not? Why not plant some soybeans? I just think you're going to disrupt durum, you're going to disrupt spring wheat acreage, and it's going to go to soybeans and corn. So that's that's what I see. And I think spring wheat, which has been really a laggard here and struggling against the volatility of Kansas City and Chicago, is going to find some legs as we see what's happening across the northern plains, and especially once we get the plantings report, which won't be until, well, the initial plantings report in late March, of course, but then the actual plantings report in late June. And by that time, obviously, it's too late. But I think spring wheat is going to have a reckoning here. You know, we have adequate supplies for now. It's not really been that big of an issue, which is why it's discount to Chicago, but that's not going to last. And I certainly think as you get into the new crop months that spring wheat will resume its premium over Chicago much more than it is. And you're going to see a big drop in production. So those are, you know, some of my thoughts on this market. World FOB offers continue to push their way higher. Over the weekend, we did see that Russian FOB offers bumped up. Actually, it's been over the last couple weeks, but they've jumped at $20 a ton. They're hovering right around $300 a ton for deferred. I mean, they're not really offering anything at the moment, but they are what's down through March. They're tacking on those taxes, of course. So we're hovering right around $300 a ton in Russia. In the United States, soft red hovering around 283 to 273. It's about unchanged from the previous week. Hard red is around 280 to 283. So that is up a 1 to 2 from the previous couple weeks. So world FOB offers have really not backed off, and they won't really. With Russia gone, with a 50 euro a ton, that's tax, which is equates to about $1.80 plus. You're going to see world prices rally to that level, because here's the thing, you know, Russia has plenty of wheat. It's not like they had, you know, a shortfall. They actually touched record production, you know, met record production with their record from a few years back, even with the shortfall of wheat in the southern region. So that tells you that there was massive production in the northern part of the country, but the exporters have had to pull that wheat into the export channel because of the shortfall in the southern region. That has pushed up domestic prices, and that's why the government stepped in the way they have. Farmers have been very slow sellers, especially in the southern region, because they had a short crop. They've got storage space, and they've got winter wheat in the ground that looks in pretty rough shape. So they're not letting go of the wheat. The government imposing these taxes is trying to accomplish that, trying to spur the farmers into selling wheat, knowing, you know, trying to send the message that their domestic prices are not going to get any better. So why not move it now? And maybe that'll happen. I think you'll see some movement in February and March as farmers prepare for the planting season. They usually need to sell some wheat to generate cash, but until then, it's probably going to be fairly slow. And even still, with that tax, it's going to be, you know, in order for them to be competitive in the world, world prices are going to have to rally up to that level. And I just don't see how we avoid that. So supports, I think the support will be there in the market. We'll get our pullbacks like we've seen, and the buyers will step up. I think demand is going to shift over to the United States and into Canada somewhat, but mostly the United States. If you want a high quality milling winter wheat, there's nowhere else to go, frankly. And that's going to, I think, hit us in that March, April timeframe. And then it's off to the races as far as a new crop. You know, we'll look at what our crop's condition is as it breaks dormancy, the rest of the northern hemisphere, and then it's just a completely different ball game. If you see any hint of weather problems in the Black Sea, Europe, or the North American regions, I think wheat market takes yet another leg up. But for now, I think we're just well supported. I think there's a bit more to the upside here, just from demand-driven pricing, and then after that it's more of a weather push. So those are my comments. I think there's more to go. I think we have completed our correction here. Beans and corn, they've had a significant correction, and corn is pushed back into new, you know, multi-year highs. Corn appears to be our leader now as China continues to buy boatloads and boatloads of corn. And frankly, the ending stocks in the United States for corn and beans are already very tight, and export sales are way ahead of what USDA's projections would have them be. So there's probably going to be some adjustments made in the February crop report about exports for US corn and beans. That I would think they were going to have to increase them, which further erodes ending stocks for corn and beans. And again, they're already at very tight levels. So it's a February crop report that could well set the high in the market. That typically we tend to rally up into that time window anyway. And if we are, we usually get some sort of a high right around the crop report. And then we head into the February break, where you tend to see a lot of farmers selling. That's kind of the pattern I'm looking for. That we still have some upside here. We haven't seen the blow-off tops. that you tend to get in these demand-driven markets, the panic buying. We haven't seen that. And so I think there's one more push up, and my guess is it will culminate right around that crop report. So we'll see what happens, but that's my outlook. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to call 1-800-888-9843. This has been Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities.